It's January 10th, 2016. It's Sunday. It's 11:43. I'm at the crest of this trail of mine here in the high desert in the San Gabriel Mountains. And it's apart from the light chemtrails high above me, it's a beautiful day. All the mountains are capped in snow, and temperature is about 39 degrees, and there's no breeze, because wind chill up here in the 4 to 7,000 foot range can get a lot of, get pretty uncomfortable with the wind. If it's cold and you don't have the right clothing. I came up here during a rainstorm a few days ago without rain gear. It was 38 and raining and windy. That was bracing. But I figured, hey, 4 hours of that, you know, I don't have to sleep in it. That'd be a whole other thing. Okay, I'm going to continue what I started in the earlier entry today on health. A whole bunch of things to comment on. I was commenting on the subtle radiance or lack thereof as a function of exposure to poisons or toxins. And I wouldn't have, apart from the heavy metals we're being exposed to, I wouldn't have, in terms of the Illuminati, their dark obsession with Satanism and technology, that, you know, and their anti-spiritual point of view, I don't have any doubt that they've studied as much as they can the subtle biology of the human being. And if they can add certain compounds or chemicals to this mixture that we're getting that specifically limit spiritual potential, I think they would do it. Why not? It's like a cherry on the cake, you know, cherry on top. Or a cherry on top of the sundae, little sprinkles of nuts. It's just that little something special to make their demonic possession that much more pleasurable. And I commented it on a Mexican restaurant, and everyone's having a cell phone and being obese. There were some people that didn't fit that description, but probably that was 1 out of 5. So having exercised more than usual during the past 10 or 11 days, 12 days, my metabolic rate, my life force is enhanced. I am revving a bit in a good way. And yesterday, I've been struggling really for a week and a half of having been up here. Yesterday I was again trying to focus on the nonsense of some of these tax documents I need to prepare. And I was able to work on some of it. As much as I don't like it, and as much as it doesn't stimulate any higher thought in me, you know, financially I do have a lot at stake here in terms of, you know, my being able to, you know, have more material or other opportunities, the opportunities that having additional money or cash allows you. So I was really happy. I was able to do a little of that, but also I was able to write some more on this guy, this Shiva yogi, Dr. Shiva Yogi something something in India somewhere. And I guess you pay a fee, and then he you know, stimulates or activates your Ajna chakra, or that's what he purports to do. But they're very interesting videos, and at first I was enchanted by them, just the idea of anyone, you know, I generally enjoy people, you know, cleansing me, you know, shaking their fingers and hands and rubbing them over my, you know, subtle chakra areas without even touching me. It's basically just showering me with a positive intention. And there is a benign dimension to that. And, any capacity where I am being served, Now, there is a pleasure associated with that, a satisfaction. And so I did discuss that, but then I get back into this old, these old criticisms of people like Da Frijan or Adi Da, or to a lesser extent, Amachi, but really the same thing, where, you know, the danger of associating your awakening or associating spirit's movement within you, or Kundalini's movement within you, whatever, if there's a distinction there, that you associate it with the physical vehicle, the personality of that being that you know was near you when that happened. And I guess there are real cases of people having profound things happen to them in the presence of a quote master, end quote. But then they get all, you know, they get addicted to the person. And the person wants sex with you, they want your money. I mean, that tends to be, you know, where that goes. And that becomes damaging on a subtle level. They call it subtle ego, subtle delusion. And it's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. Or even with Amachi, right here, once, twice. I don't know how many hours everyone's waiting in line, and you know she's doing like a 48-hour or longer, you know, sitting in one position marathon of hugging people. And I think she's got, you know, at the time she was developing shoulder, you know, some kind of shoulder condition, you know, just repetitive stress injury to the joint from hugging people. And, you know, this is a limited resource. This is one person. They can only do so much. Can't hug the planet. And again, people then, you know, I've heard of all these organizations. They have power struggles and, you know, various delegations of duties. But, you know, the mice are always, you know, the Indians are always queuing or struggling for to curry the favor of the boss, the lead spiritual teacher. And yeah, I'm not getting it right now. There should be no debt owed. And the awakening or the spiritual insight, there should be, I think, should have an impersonal reference. I don't think that works for, that may not work for most people. This whole, bhakti tradition and staring at images or statues or whatever they do, I suppose that works, and you need to choose a path that works for you. My only concern is that no one is perfect. And while someone is incarnate, you know, the very fact that you have a material or physical presence on the planet means that there is a karmic dimension to your being. You know, there's needs, wants. And you can get increasingly purified. And there's going to be masters who are less harmful than others. But all of them are a distraction. And that's easy to say for someone who, you know, perhaps is on the other side of that or has, doesn't have an inclination to seek a master. But, yeah, the guru is in the way. So this Dr. Shiva Yogi, you know, he's doing his thing, pressing his thumb on, you know, the women's forehead, putting a little paint there, whatever that mark is called, and snapping his fingers in certain aura, you know, certain areas around the body, doing his chanting and having some meditation music playing. I don't know. I guess proof is in the, as they said at these Adidam forums I used to participate in, you know, I guess proof is in the pudding. You know, that is, well, what are the fruits of this guy's work? Is he having sex with all these women? Do they feel lost without, you know, weekly chakra infusions from him directly? Is that bad necessarily? Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's an individual matter. But that's just what I would caution people against, is don't look for a human answer for your dilemma. If you're drawn to that, then be as cautious as you, you know, as mindful as you can, and I guess go there. Because obviously there's karma. Your karmic needs, your karmic tendencies, you need to listen to what it is that you need to do. But, you know, if I can just plant a seed that there's more beyond the guru or the spiritual practitioner, then have that in your mind so that you can sort of train your spiritual voice to be looking for or be on the lookout for other avenues, more independent paths of more direct, subtle communion without a mediary. Some more stuff. I had purchased at Target, you know, some stores trying to carry healthier lines of food products, and there is a brand of like burritos frozen in the frozen section by the brand is Sweet Earth. And although they're better for you than a Big Mac or a whole bunch of other fast foods, I had two of them yesterday, and it was strikingly clear to me that there's a preservative or some other agent in these products that coated my tongue and just felt awful in my mouth most of the night. And I'll contrast that with 10 years ago or more. If I had any, even a little bit of prepared salsa, even of an organic type, that there was a preservative in there, even if it wasn't on the label, there was something in there that caused a reaction in me. And it would come up in my, on my tongue, in my mouth, over the night, but almost always within an hour or two, by middle of the night, my system would be clear. Because every night, the body, our bodies, seek to flush ourselves of toxins of all sorts. I think that's what dreaming's about. Just flushing our minds, enriching them. But the body too, the gastrointestinal tract. So I just want to say that I was hoping that I wouldn't have as much of a reaction to them. And it's just now I know. And I had been on a kick, you know, this summer for the first time in my life. I was seeking out organic hamburgers. And for the first couple dozen servings of these grass-fed, all-natural burgers, they're not labeled organic, but they say they get no hormones and they are fed grass. I don't know if they're fed exclusively grass, but the last several times I've had them, I've been burping up this kind of grossness from them. And part of that is due to my gastrointestinal tracts lacking the fire to properly digest or process meat. You know, because meat is a heavy thing. It's very powerful food. And you can't just be some couch potato with a slovenly digestive system and benefit from eating meat. Meat's going to putrefy, and it's going to be doing just the opposite in terms of your health. But I think if you're at a sufficient vibrational state, metabolic rate, that you're able to burn that meat up as much as you can, but you know, much more so, and get as much of the nutrients out of it as possible. And you don't get the burping up as much. But even having said that, I do think that there's with Carl's Jr., there's some kind of funky, like grilled, wood-fired grill kind of flavor, charcoal flavor to it. And also they mince the meat up so much. And so you get some gristle in there, but it's super small pieces. And so you get a lot of fat in there that you don't know, or that if it was a larger hunks of meat in the patty, then you'd be able to identify the chunks of gristle or fat and not eat them. But as small as they are, they all go in. It just begs the question of, you know, why do they need to mince the meat so fine unless it's an inferior cut of beef? And I would note that I've heard that some tests of, I think it was a McDonald's burger, but this may be an industry-wide practice, but they found through genetic testing over 100 different cows in one hamburger patty. And answer me this, how do you get 100 different animals into one 4-ounce patty? You know, that's sick. That's really, it's like these giant vats where they probably irradiate everything and just mix it all together. And I'm sure there's some kind of scary proprietary process. I gotta look it up. You know, that just doesn't happen by accident. Unless it's just, you know, trace elements of like fat or oil just from the processing plant, but the bulk of the meat's from, let's say, you know, two cows, and then just trace amounts of, you know, 50 other animals or something. Maybe it's like that, but if it's uniform, you know, where no cow makes up more than 2% of any given hamburger, then there's a definite program to blend this stuff in an unhealthy way. So I'm going to back off on the Carl's Jr. What I enjoyed is there's an organic spicy avo hummus that I've been getting at Costco. It's all right. It's not bad. but I've been mixing it with a blue corn and flax seed, cooked in organic sunflower oil, entirely organic sea salt corn chip that I buy. They come in 12-ounce bags at Target, and you crunch up some of that, those, and you throw in a heaping of this hummus. You kind of mix it up, and it's a pretty satisfying snack, almost meal. And I will say, and I did observe this this past summer when I had a 3 or 4 week stint up here looking for work, that paw prints. It's a coyote. Not sure what that is. I've been, for the most part, avoiding milk products. You know, just no cheese. And I think that's been pretty good for me. There's one more thing I wanted to mention, but it's not on. Yeah, so yesterday, because I was in a higher rate, higher metabolic state, where I was cohering a little more, I was able to both write and do some paperwork more readily than usual. And the analogy that came to me, the metaphor, the image, was one of, you could be on a bicycle and you are, you got your feet on the pedals and you're pedaling. But if the chain is not engaged, if the chain is off and it's just sort of loose on the axle, then you're just spinning your wheels. I mean, not spinning the wheels, you're spinning the pedals, but the wheels are going nowhere. You know, you're just spinning in place no matter how hard you try. And that's normally how I am, or how I've become. That's been more and more my more recent experience of trying to cohere and be productive. And what I found yesterday, even if it was just for like 20 minutes, maybe a half hour at most, but I got traction and it was extraordinary. It gave me a lot of hope, because I don't know what's going on. You know, whether I'm getting, you know, my brain is looking increasingly like Swiss cheese. You know, I mean, hey, I'm 50 years old. People my age get Alzheimer's now. You know, who knows what could be going on with my mind. And I just look at some older entries from my website when I maintained it on the Big Island, and man, I was writing, I was flowing at 5:30 in the morning. I would leap out of bed, go down there, and just get to it. I was on fire. And just parenthetically, I want to just tell you, if you're on fire, and if you're in it, never take it for granted. All sorts of shit happens, or can happen, that diminishes your drive, that drains you of potential, that craters your productivity. And so if you are productive and you're doing what God intends for you to do, stick with it. Go for it. And be wary of this feeling of, oh, I'm in a rut. Because that's where I was in 2005. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm at the top of my game. I'm a nine-year veteran of this school, and I just own this place, and I'm not being challenged. And, you know, the women are all, you know, by the time they're 18 or, you know, they've already got three kids and no one's going to school or making the most of themselves. They all get, everyone's peaking at age 14, basically. No one exercises or takes care of themselves. The diet, no attention to diet, no self-discipline that would make, you know, that would cause you to have a physical practice that maintains a fit form. You don't find 30-year-old Hawaiians that are gorgeous. Nah, by that time, they've got their muumuu on, their five kids, they're packing an extra 120 pounds. That's just how it is. For the most part. And that's all just to say that, you know, romantically, I was unfulfilled. And, but because of my EMF sensitivity, I'm relegated to these, backwaters of basically, you know, alcoholism and death metal and welfare. You know, white chicks are just as fat out here. But you do have at least some pockets and more interaction with focused, determined, hopefully self-actualizing individuals, because there are, you know, cities and other centers of other attractions that call for that type of a person more so than the islands do. So anyways, yeah, it was just a feeling that my mind was engaged, that I was getting traction. That is, my intentionality was actually, you know, affecting my mind. And so I just hope that I can reconnect with that. And I'm just terrified of 6 months more in this particular location of, you know, where I work. We'll see what comes up this summer. I definitely need to find a work setting that's doable, that puts me within, let's say, an hour of these San Gabriel mountain hikes. And it's got to be for a district that gets you into some pretty good pay, you know, very quickly. A lot of them don't. It's not a wealthy area, and so it's the exception rather than the rule to find school districts that will honor you with 10 years or more service credit if you've got them, you know, teaching and teaching experience, and have pay scales that are, you know, not just poverty level. That's it for now.